Let's pray together our prayer of illumination. God of mercy, you promise never to break your covenant with us. Amid all the changing words of our generation, speak your eternal word that does not change. Enable us to respond to your gracious promises with faithful and obedient lives. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're going to be doing a scripture lesson, 1 Corinthians verses 1, 18, verses 18 through 31. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent, I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. And we're doing another lesson, Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will become comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who, when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And now I will do the children's message. How are you? Oh, thanks, Pastor. Okay, thank you. How's everybody?
Good.
You guys getting ready for, what's today? Later? Valentine's? The Super Bowl. Yeah. Danny, you getting ready for Valentine's?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I already got it.
That's fantastic.
I already planned about the decorations.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, me, I, this is a pretty nifty day today, you know, because Wayne went to work and I got up this morning and, it's backwards. I always read this when I get up. I always do this. This is on my kitchen table every morning. And this is a little prayer for the day. And it says, for February 2nd, it says, we need to follow up every spiritual triumph with a humble recommitment to the Almighty God who gave us that victory. And that is so true. That is, I mean, that just energized me just right there, okay? For the whole day, I'm like energized and that I was gonna go to church. And, you know, Wayne, of course, feels the same way about church as well. And, you know, he reads this every day before he goes to work. But of course, later, I'm gonna be dealing with a clicker, okay? And also glue. In other words, he's going to have his eyes. Where's his eyes going to be? Are they going to be on me? Are his eyes going to be on me? Where is Wayne's eyes going to be? Where are your eyes going to be? On a sandwich, right?
No.
No, you're not going to eat a sandwich? What are you going to do, Danny?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Are you going to eat a sandwich? No sandwiches? No food? No nothing? And what are you going to do? Where are your eyes going to be?
Inside of a sandwich.
That's really good. Well, guess what? Wayne's eyes are going to be glued to the TV and the clicker, okay? So, and this Pringles, okay? But, and there are more Pringles outside. Food is okay in church, so you can have some after, okay? So I just want to like let you know that you guys have been very good. We're going to sit and pray, and I want to let you know that every day is, we should say a prayer and think of God in a very high manner and be kind and just, you know, be true to each other, okay? All right, let's say a prayer. Thank you, God, for today's Super Bowl Sunday, and may we watching TV, enjoying friends and family. Thank God for this church and our church family. Everyone have a nice day today. And think of God in a high manner on a daily basis every day. And be kind to everyone. Amen.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, question for you to get us started off this morning. How many of you have gone mountain climbing before? How many have been on a mountain or a high hill? Okay? You can see everything from the top of a mountain, especially on a clear day. One of the things that we noticed upon moving here to Wyckoff almost 7 years ago now is coming over the crest of Route 208 and having a clear shot on a clear day of the skyline of Manhattan, New York City, which, you know, to a country bumpkin from Iowa, is a neat sight to behold. And my parents, especially when they are in town visiting, they can't get enough of it. Every time, it doesn't matter if it's the first time or the 100th time we've driven that route, they point in the distance and they say, "Is that New York City?" I say, "Yes. Yes, it is." From a high point, from a vantage point, you can see everything. You imagine Jesus climbing up the mountain when he sees these hordes of people that are looking to be taught. He's been healing them. He's been preaching to them, and this large crowd has gathered. And so he walks up the side of a mountain so that he can see all of the people, but also he can see cities in the distance. He can see farms. He can see vineyards. He can see all of these different people in all of these different situations. And in the Sermon on the Mount, in these verses and chapters that we are going to look at, you can just imagine Jesus looking out over all of this and commenting about it, preaching about what he sees happening in his day in the world. He begins his sermon with some pretty radical statements. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we got to take this apart just a little bit because we don't often think of the poor as being blessed. This word here in Greek can also be translated as happy, which I don't think is a very good translation. Blessed is actually not a very good translation either. Probably the closest thing that we can get is this idea that the poor ought to be envied. Envied. You say it with me, really? The poor in spirit, those who are mourning, those who are being persecuted, those are folks that we ought to envy, really? Well, why is that? Why is that? In Luke's gospel, his rendition of Jesus telling these words, he eliminates some of the spiritual components, but then adds in some words about if the poor are blessed, then the rich are cursed. He gives that counterpoint. But here in Matthew, you don't get a sense of that. So what is Jesus trying to get at here? You've undoubtedly heard this preached on before. This is a pretty famous passage. Maybe you've had an opportunity to think through yourself about what this means. Because Matthew used the words in spirit, does that mean, well, you just have a mindset of being poor? Like, well, I don't really value the things that I have. I value my relationship with God, or I value relationships. And that's what makes me blessed? Or is it being poor in spirit? Does that mean that somehow we give up things, that our poverty has not been placed upon us, but that it's something that we choose? These are tough things to lead with right out of the gate. Especially because how they don't really match up with the things that our society and our culture values. Right? A little bit later today, Iris mentioned your eyes are going to be glued on the TV for the Super Bowl. I love that. I laughed out loud. Some people watch for the game. Many people watch for the commercials. Right? And the commercials, they're trying to sell you things. Now, any middle schooler who's ever studied advertising ploys can tell you that in the commercials, you are not going to see people who are poor or disadvantaged as if these are things that we aspire to. There will be celebrity endorsements. there will be people who are having a good time, living a life of luxury. There will be weird things like puppy monkey baby. If you've never seen puppy monkey baby before, Google that, you'll see. There's some weird stuff in there too. But none of it is really geared toward those that aspire to being poor or mourning or being persecuted. But Jesus says, in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom that Jesus is preaching about, that is at hand because of Jesus' presence in the world, the people that are valued, the people that are upheld, the people that ought to be envied are those who are in positions that our society usually labels as a negative connotation. The Apostle Paul actually picks this up in his letter to the Corinthians when he's talking about the cross. Now, we've talked about this before. What the cross is and what it symbolizes for us and what it would have symbolized for the early Christians or the Jews living in the Roman Empire in the first century. The cross is not a symbol of power. It's not a symbol of might. It's not something that you would aspire to. The cross is a tool used by an oppressive government to execute those who have the gall to stand up against the power of the empire. It's a very gruesome and public way to die. Right? There's a reason why Jesus and the two thieves with him carry their crosses to the hill of Golgotha, the place of the skulls, which is by the main road heading into town. It's a very public way to show, hey, it's fine if you want to disagree with the Roman Empire. It's all well and good if you want to stand up against Caesar and decide that you want to cast off the mantle. It's okay if you don't want to pay your taxes or, you know, you want to be a political dissident. No problem. Go right ahead. Just understand what happens to the people who walk that line. They end up there. So, go ahead. Enter at your own risk. There's no welcome mat quite like a gruesome cross. And yet, this is the symbol that Paul says is actually symbolic of power. The power of the cross, which would have sounded ridiculous in Paul's day, which we have books and songs and things written about for us. Why? Because Paul says that the cross is an emblem of strength. Not of the strength of the Roman Empire, but of the strength of God to overcome human weakness. And that's what's so powerful about these Beatitudes, is that they lift up for us human frailty and the blessing that comes from that. Really, what it comes down to for Jesus and for Paul is the willingness to walk the line that brings with it persecution. Not something that we necessarily experience here in America, but in other parts of the world, persecution is a very real thing for Christians. I've told the story before about going to India and going into what we thought was a tea store, a place that sold beautiful rugs, and seeing them draw the curtains and lift up one of the rugs hanging on the wall, which showed a door leading into a secret room, which was filled with women and children, whose husbands and fathers did not know that they were gathered together for a church service. Because if they had found out, they would be thrown out on the street, or worse. These were folks who hungered and thirsted for righteousness, who were certainly poor in spirit, who undoubtedly mourned their situation, mourned for their husbands, for their fathers, and yet hungered and thirsted for righteousness in such a way that they would lay it all on the line just to gather together in a community of faith, to hear God's word proclaimed, to worship together, to pray for one another. I find that to be such a contrast with the church as we have it here in America, where you have so many different choices, not only of where you want to go to church, but hey, you might not even want to go, right? There's a Super Bowl to prepare for. Can you imagine if you were risking it all to be here? If instead of putting a sign out front, we pulled down the curtain so that no one could see what was happening in here. That is the situation for so many Christians in our world today. And so the Beatitudes and these words from Paul about the power of the cross are heard differently by different people. For us, they are a reminder of our need to continually sacrifice, our need to continually set aside the things that our world finds valuable and to seek those things that God finds valuable. But more than that, these are a reminder to us of the strength that comes from weakness. We are to envy the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are to envy those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We are to envy those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be called children of God. We are to envy those who are the real peacemakers, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Paul says that in my weakness, in his weakness, in our weakness, if we're honest about that, those are the places where God shows up. And the cross of Jesus Christ seals our salvation. Not for worldly strength, not for the image of success, right? No prosperity gospel preached here. There's no guarantees that if you follow this life, you are going to receive material blessing. In fact, if we listen to Paul and we listen to Jesus, chances are the more faithful you are, the harder it is for you to live in this world. But we can find comfort in knowing that we walk the path that Jesus laid before us. And we look to the cross as symbolic reminder of the strength in human weakness. And these cans of soup here that are before us as a visual representation remind us of our need to share. of our need to share the things that we have with those who have not, because they never really belong to us anyway. It's not as if we can even say, oh, I'm being generous. We've been shown generosity by God. In future weeks, in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to tell us an awful lot about the law and how we follow it as faithful Christians in our world today. But we begin with these verses and this reminder of the blessing that comes from weakness, because weakness is power. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the Beatitudes, for the Apostle Paul, for the wisdom that are found in these words, for the challenge they set before us to demonstrate our faithfulness to you by standing in solidarity with those who are in need, by remembering those who are persecuted, by comforting those who are mourning. Because that is what it is to live as citizens of your kingdom. Continue to send your Spirit into our presence and into our midst, that we might continually gain sensitivity to what you are doing in our world for those who are living in dark places, the salt and light that you call us to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.